Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, how many are excited? How many are glad to be in the house of Jesus here this morning? Come on, are you excited? Just go ahead and give Jesus a good hand of praise. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord, and I'm just grateful to have this opportunity. Well, let's all stand real briefly. We're going to stand, and this moment is time to hear a word from the Lord. How many came ready to receive from Jesus? Oh, before we get ready to receive, we're going to pray, but I want to take this moment real quickly just to thank the Lord for my salvation. First of all, how many are grateful that God stepped into your life? Yes, amen. Right? How many can say that we're better today than the first day we walked in? And that's because of Jesus. Amen. So I'm always grateful for that. I've been saved for about a little bit over 10 years, but it's 9 years here in the ministry along with my wife, our beautiful family now. But I'm just grateful for this ministry. How many love Victory Outreach Milwaukee? Amen. Victory Outreach International. Praise the Lord. Our founders, right? We have founders that are still trailblazing. They're over 80 years old, and they're still traveling the world, discipling, planting churches. Amen. And I just want to also, I'm grateful, and I want to thank my pastors, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, and the Reino family. Right now, they come as a package. But how many are thankful for our pastors? Amen. Amen. And then keep our pastor in prayer. He's there, I guess, right now sharing. It's an hour ahead. So they're almost, I think, about wrapping up service or getting done with service there in Jacksonville, Florida. So that's a baby church we sent out. Amen. We believe in the vision, and we live the vision. We're part of that vision. So we sent out that church about 3 years ago, and our pastor's there preaching, sharing, just helping build, you know, his spiritual son, Pastor Jamie Darrow, along with his wife, Sister Tammy. But I'm just grateful for my pastor, my pastor's wife, and all that they do. Amen. I also want to thank my wife. She's always been there with me. Amen. Alongside. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think those moments is what makes us. But I'm just grateful. Within that, let's go ahead and pray. Amen. How many are ready to receive? Amen. We're going to pray. And then when we pray, I want you, when you sit down, amen, shift around a little bit. Matter of fact, after we pray, I want you to scoot a seat over. Let's practice shifting right now. We're going to practice, we're going to do a practical shift. So simple that you can apply it just by sitting down somewhere else. That way some of you, you know, say, this is my seat, right? I sit here all the time. You know, those watching online, shift over a little bit, stand up, stretch out, don't get too comfortable. As Brother Jason was saying, right, we don't know if you're in your pajamas. That's why it's good to come here. Amen. Good to see each other. But let's go ahead and pray. Praise God. Bow your head with me and close your eyes all over this place, those watching online. Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time. We love you, thank you. We always give you all the glory, all the honor. We're thankful for this opportunity, an opportunity of prayer. And here within this moment, I need you, Lord God. We need you. And we always need you. I pray of the hearts that are here to be open, to be stirred, my God. My heart too still remains stirred. And all that you have given me, simply help me transmit it, to be a transmitter of your good word, Lord God. Let it fall on good grounds, but most of all, let it be clear. Help me transmit with clarity, with precision, Lord Father God, with your love, your precision, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we ask most in everything your anointing to cast out your vision, your word, your anointing, Holy Spirit. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Everybody says amen. Amen and amen. You can shift over one more seat and then you can sit down. I got a good memory, so I'm looking around to see how many actually shifted over. You gotta practice right now what's being taught to you. You gotta be obedient. Be obedient. Amen. Once again, I'm just grateful for this opportunity. I know I don't take this lightly. And my pastor was telling me, I'm gonna share. And as soon as he told me, I kind of was thinking about what to do, what to say. And then this one's a little bit different. So let's just get into it. Amen. And let's see what God has for us. The title of the message is The Shift That Needs to Be Made. The Shift That Needs to Be Made. And I know we already prayed here this morning, but I want to share with the church and those of us that are here, those of us that are online, whether we're saved 1 year, 2 years, few months, amen, whether we've been serving the Lord a while now, or we just came in and we're learning of the things of the Lord. However we find ourselves, wherever we may find ourselves, there's always a shift that needs to be made. Tell your neighbor, there's always a shift. There's always a shift that needs to be made. And I know within my own life personally, there's always a shift. That I know I can speak for myself, and I pray that this is for all of us, but coming into Christianity and serving the Lord, I don't want to stay the same. How many don't want to stay the same? Because I believe we say that in our job site, right? How many of you want to get a raise at your job site? You want to get an increase at your job site? How many want your family to grow? Your marriages to grow? Relationships to grow? Amen? And so within that, it's a constant shift that needs to be made. Somebody say amen. Okay, I want you to talk back to me here this morning. I'm giving you permission. That way I know that you guys are listening and being interactive. But within that, there was always a personal shift that I needed to make personally. And so I believe here within the church, there are certain shifts that need to be made. And coming back from my wife and I, along with our senior pastor, Pastor Charlie, and then also Pastor Jamie, we went down to California, there to L.A., should I say Chino, and we went to the leadership or the expansion leadership summit. And so that's why, as Brother Jason was giving announcements and even there in the videos, amen, we got to make it an opportunity to get involved in Victory Outreach International. Right, amen. How many want to get involved into what God's doing here in the ministry? So we got to get involved. Tanner, be involved. And there's something for all of us, right? I mean, the women are having the local women's discipleship downstairs. You don't got to travel far. All you got to do is make a shift in your calendar, and you're there. You're in person, you're receiving locally. So when we have regional events that are coming around the corner, right? Our third wave week, they're calling a third wave revival of what God wants to do. Come on, how many are excited? It's a third wave revival. And that's for the gang, but really that's for all of us. You want to, if you say you're a part of what God wants to do, listen, you got to be there, right? Brother Jason was sharing. I mean, how many don't forget BC when we were lost and bound? You wanted to be anywhere and everywhere. I believe that's still some of us. We're just looking for a place to be. We're just looking for somewhere to hang out. It's almost like if that void is there, but that void now belongs to Jesus. And so the more we make these events, international events, the more we get connected, the more we get plugged in, and the more that shift becomes a reality. Because I don't know about you, but within my life, I can say that serving the Lord year after year at time becomes harder. We get into the grind. How many can say we get into the grind? And if not, just welcome aboard. Come sign up. Amen. Give me your name. We'll put you to work. We'll let you experience a little bit of the grind. But it's in those areas that at times we need to be re-envisioned. We need to be refueled. Amen. We need to be refreshed. How many can say at times you need to be refreshed? Not from Starbucks, right? Not those Starbucks, you know, not the refreshers. Not that coffee, not the latte, cappuccinos, the frappes, ice cold, all kinds of ideas they're making up now, right? The line is so long, and everybody waits there. My God, right? Tanner, my God. You're waiting there for so long, and so you got to wait that long for Jesus. Learn to wait that long in prayer. It's hard to wait that long in prayer, yet we wait that long in the things of the world. It's a shift that we need to make. And so coming back from this leadership summit, I know that God spoke to our pastor, and there's a lot of things going on. My wife and I, we're supposed to be gone, we're supposed to be sent out, but I know in that God's in control. So I know we're willing to stay as long as, you know, we're able to stay. We love this church, we love this ministry, we love our pastors, we love discipling, we love the ministry, we just love being hands-on. So we're just trying to output as much as we can. Until that time comes, then we're ready. But until then, we have decided just to commit ourselves fully here into the ministry. How many have decided to commit yourselves fully into the ministry? And so there's a shift. There's a shift that needs to be made. Whether we agree or not, right? Whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not. Listen, at times, we don't understand how God works. How many can say amen? I didn't understand how God works, but all I did was be obedient. And so I just pray that as I transmit this message, we're able to get into our minds, to our hearts, into our system. There's a shift. And that shift for some of us may be simple. For some of us, it may be more difficult. Difficult choices. Letting go of people. I don't know. But that's how God deals with us. For some of us, it may just be getting involved. As I mentioned earlier, plan to go to that women's leadership retreat in California. Right? We have the gang convention coming around the corner. We have Mighty Men of Valor. I mean, I'm excited that the doors are open and we're able to gather back up again. How many are excited that we're able to meet? They were able to rejoice. They were able to serve the Lord. And so I'm refreshed this morning. And I just want to share with you just simple thoughts of what God put in my heart. But most of all, just trying to stay in line with our pastor's vision. That's my goal, is to stay in line with our pastor's vision. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. It's a simple scripture, and I'm just going to pull out a few notes, a few thoughts. I'm going to share it with us. We'll make an altar call. We'll keep it early. Amen. Go back home and make the shift. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16, it says, better to have little. Better to have little. I believe right there we got to stop and just think about that for a little bit. Brother Jason was picking up the offering. I think sometimes we think about what we don't have. How many can think about what we don't have? And you think about this, and I want that, and they're doing over here, and they're going to, instead of really thinking, the next words says, better to have little with fear for the Lord. So you should be grateful you're here in the house of Jesus. Yes. Amen. I said you should be grateful that you're here in the house of Jesus. I believe that's why the men in the home are grateful, because they know where they came from. They know what God's doing within their lives, but most of all, they know what God will do. How many still believe in what God will do within our lives? Right? How many believe God still does miracles? How many pray for miracles? We got to be a church that prays for miracles. Better to have little with fear for the Lord than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. My God. I hope that doesn't describe any of us here this morning. But if it does, we're able to move on. So what I want to share is here in a season, we're in a different season. We're in a season to make a shift. So you never make a shift. And in order to make that shift, there are certain things we need to understand. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, it says, for everything there's a season. So you never time and place. We'll make sure to keep you guys awake here this morning. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. In other words, sometimes we get it wrong. We want to do certain things at the wrong time, at the wrong place. Like, brother, tone that down, right? Come back, sister. It's not time to do that. We're in fellowship and we're praying, right? It's too early for that one. Okay, let's move on. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. That's hard. A time to keep and a time to keep and a time to throw away. And we know sometimes we got to get rid of stuff. Amen. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet. So you never just listen. A time to be quiet, a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. In other words, there's a shift that we need to make. But the key in this is knowing when to make that shift. We can make it too late, too early. But within the ministry, God's making a shift. Internationally, God's making a shift. We've seen that church in downtown LA that got planted, right? Pastor Ryan Argonzoni Kuklinski, his wife, and the leadership. I mean, they're making a shift. And they're making an example of what we're able to do within this third wave. They're making an example. There's a story that comes to mind, and let me just share this story. I'll try and be quick. I have a lot to share. But there's a story that comes to mind, and as we're making a shift, how many want to get better? Amen. Right? How many want to grow? You say you want to change, right? If you say that's me, I want to change. This story is for us. Okay, I'm going to share this story. I believe it applies to all of us, because as we make this shift, there's certain things that God wants to get rid of within our lives. How many can agree? And we all have areas. I can say I have areas. If I can say I have areas, wave your hand and say I have areas. And the person next to you doesn't know, but it doesn't matter. What God knows. And God's trying to pull them out. I know our pastor was sharing yesterday at the regional monthly prayer. And he was sharing that when you're building, and you have a building, whether you purchase a property and you want to upgrade, or you walk into a facility and you want to make it better, like this church property, the school, anytime you wanted to build, you had to go through certain inspection codes. And you had to go through the city. And you had to get approval from the city to do it the right way. I mean, no, you can't just do anything you want. You can't just go about building, it may fall apart. And if the city came and it wasn't up to their specifications, then it would be a red flag. And you would have to take it down. And you weren't building the right way. And so Pastor was sharing yesterday and said, I wonder if Jesus, if he walks into our personal lives, our spiritual lives, are there any red flags that hinder the work within our lives, that hinder that project that he's trying to do? And I pray, even if there are, because I believe we all have red flags. That's what the Bible teaches. So we all fall short of the standards of God. So we all have those red flags. The thing is not to keep those red flags. So allow Jesus, the master architect, to remove that within our lives. So there's a story, and it's about this architect, it's this man, and he was well known for building great monuments, great projects, amen. He was well known and great designer, amen. Some of you may know the story, just say, wow, amen, praise God. So this man was well known all over the city, you know, all over the world, traveled and designing, great architecture, famous, his name went out, he was young, but he never got the opportunity to build something for himself. It's kind of wrapped up in all these other things, wrapped up in projects, wrapped up in this. How many times we can see ourselves in that manner, doing so many things for someone else? So he kept building and said, you know what, I might have to put a pause to this. There's a lot I'm doing, but I'm not seeing anything for me. So he retired. Then someone came by and they said, hey, listen, I need you to build something for me. He goes, I can't do it anymore. I retired. I just recently retired. So the man says, no, you got to do it for me. I want no one else. I'm willing to pay any money, whatever the price. I need you to do it. He goes, that's not me. I'm done. And he goes, no, I'm not taking no for an answer. You're the guy. I've seen all your projects. I've seen what you could do. I want you to build this for me. So finally, he accepted the offer, and he said, okay, this I'll do it. This is the last one. But because he had done so many, and he kind of really, his heart wasn't into it, he began building. But mind you, he was known for his great work. He never cut corners, a great designer, flawless. But within this project, he started in the project, but he didn't give it his heart. And he didn't show up. People weren't building on time. A design wasn't what it was supposed to be. He wasn't giving his heart. There was corners he was cutting. And all the way at the end, it was barely finished. But it didn't live up to his name. Never lived up to his expectation, to who he was. So finally, the man came back. And he said, are you done? He goes, yeah, you know, I just finished. It was just one of those. He just wanted to get out the way. And he goes, well, listen, just want to let you know that these are the keys to your new house. And at times, that's what God wants to do within our lives. He's waiting for us. He's wanting for us to build. But listen, if we don't make an adjustment or a shift, we end up building in the wrong manner. And there's a shift that we need to make as a church. And if we don't make that shift, we not only remain in the same spot, but eventually we will go backwards. Tell your neighbor, don't go backwards. There's a saying that goes, if you're not moving forward, you're going backwards. There's no such thing as remaining the same. There is no such thing in Christianity as remaining standstill. You're either growing or you're going backwards. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go backwards. God has done way too much within my life for me to remain the same, to eventually just draw back. And so there's a shift that needs to be made. There's a shift that I'm just going to paraphrase, but 12 men were called to make a shift when they were called to spy a land that God gave them a promise. And how many know God gave you and I a promise? Amen. And there was a shift that 12 men needed to make. The Lord called them and gave them instructions to the man Moses. He said, listen, I need you to go into this area. It's already ours. You just need to go spy it out. Bring me back the instructions. Bring me back whatever's there. out of 12 men, 10 did not make the proper shift. Only 2 came back with the good report. And because those 12 didn't make the shift, none of them were able to enter into the promised land. I mean, I don't know about you, but we have some promises from the Lord. How many believe in the promises of God? So how many believe in the promises that God has given Victory Outreach? Right? That we shall inherit the nations, that we shall receive treasures out of darkness. Listen, those promises are for you and I, but if we don't make that shift, we could become like those 10 spies that God forgotten about, that God lost. We don't even talk about them. We talk about Joshua and Caleb, the ones that conquered, the ones that went forth, the one that took over in the land. I mean, Caleb, after he was 80 years old, he's the one that spoke out and he said still, give me my mountain. In other words, he said, I'm not settling down. I'm still making a shift. I'm not remaining the same. I'm not settling for ordinary. I want what God has for my life. Is there anybody here this morning that you say, I want what God has for my life? And it was because of a shift that was made. We have another person. I mean, we have 1 or 2 million people before them that got taken out of bondage. How many are grateful God took you out of bondage? How many don't forget what it was like? Waking up with a hangover. Waking up and wondering, who am I going to call? Where's my money at? How many woke up and said, man, where's the car at? How many are grateful those days are over? Amen. There was 1 or 2 million people that the Lord took out of bondage, out of slavery. A slavery of mentality, bondage. But they also still needed to make a shift. Because they didn't believe and trust in the leading, they got left behind. Tell your neighbor, don't get left behind. There's a shift that needs to be made. And all throughout the Bible, we see men and women of God that were used, but they were used to make a shift within their lives to follow God's plan and God's will within their lives. And here within this portion of Scripture, in this portion of Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs is Solomon, one of the wisest men after Jesus. How many need some wisdom? So Scripture, I believe, is James 1:7. Don't quote me. It's right around there. But it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask the Heavenly Father who gives to all freely without finding fault. In other words, God would not hold back. Maybe too many of us, there was a saying that goes, we're either too prideful to ask for wisdom. We think we know it all. I mean, I came back with the mentality to build. We went there, my wife and I, and we were making connections and making networking. I said, I'm going to talk to this person. I'm going to talk to that person. Got a hold of an individual. I said, hey, what's going on? How are you building in the gang, the God's Anointed Now generation? And he goes, hey, this is what I'm doing. And he goes, you need to just ask for wisdom. I didn't take it offensive. I didn't say, listen here, man, I've been doing this for years. You don't know what I've been doing. You know, wisdom. I'll give you some wisdom right now. And I said, okay, I received it. And I said, man, what a great insight. Just to say, go back to the Lord. Say, God, I need your wisdom. It's not my ministry. It's God's ministry. Really, it's not even our lives. Bible says God paid a ransom for you and I. He purchased you and I. And so we need wisdom. How many can say we need wisdom? Yes. Solomon wrote this book in his mid-years. He wrote Song of Songs when he was young. I'm going to say a cuss word, when he was youthful, there in his youth. And so he wrote it when he was young and full of, you know, vigor and all excited. Then he wrote the Proverbs in his mid-years when he's acquiring all this wisdom. And then in Ecclesiastes, that was later on in his life, after he had learned so many, even in wisdom, he made so many mistakes. He didn't finish the race so well. But here we learn something that was written in his mid-years and is one of the most practical books in the Old Testament. You don't have to break this down. You don't have to go to the Hebrew. You don't have to, you could just apply this right now. Instead of wondering, what does that mean? I don't understand. No, it just read a scripture in the Proverbs, right? And go apply it right now. So I think Proverbs chapter 6, I think, don't quote me on this one either. I think it's verse 6. And it says, go to the ant, you lazy bones. Then it says, it has no leader. It receives no instructions, but it gathers its food in the summer. And then it goes on to say, how long will you lay there, right? Tossing and turning. So all that scripture is saying is, don't be lazy. How many can say we procrastinate? Amen. We got to make a shift in that area. And so it also teaches, it has timeless teaching for everyday living, a collection of approximately 900 inspired precepts. So Proverbs provides godly counsel for virtually every facet of human relationships. You need some wisdom? Go to the book of Proverbs. I've been there for a while now. These Proverbs deal with folly, wisdom, pride, humility, vengeance, justice, laziness, and initiative, poverty, and wealth. It teaches us how to handle finances. How many need some help handling finances? How many got to stop eating out every so often, right? Who has all your money? McDonald's or, right? Where's all your money going to recently? Pride, vengeance, justice, enemies, friends, lust, love, anger, anxiety, master, servants, life, and death. So here within this portion, we see many things that we can learn. But within this portion of scripture, Solomon was speaking about being content in the Lord. How many need to be content in Jesus? It says, better to have little with fear for the Lord than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. It's interesting, though, because he was rich. Tell you never, he was rich. As they say nowadays, he had money, right? He didn't have no regular money. He had money. And so, but even in that, he was able to understand that money didn't matter if God wasn't in the picture. I mean, because you have all the money in the world, but at times if Jesus is not there, you still have a void on the inside. I believe they asked John Rockefeller. They said, how much money is enough? And simply put, he answered, one more dollar. He always wanted more. But within this area, I believe that Solomon learned and understood how to make a shift to really realize who God was within his life. Though he had great wealth and finances and all these other areas, I remember I always say this, but within a book, nowadays, if you compare what Solomon made to what we have nowadays, if you take all the gold and you read it in the Bible and you transmit it into the finances nowadays, he would have had over $700 billion. That means no one in Forbes magazine would have been able to touch this man, been able to even come close. I believe they have the richest man is 40, 50 billion, and the average around those areas. Solomon would have had $700 billion. Why? He served the Lord. He learned how to place God first, how to honor the Lord, and he asked for wisdom. But there's some shifts that he made, and let's get into it. I'm going to get these across. There's certain shifts that he made that he understood to serve God, to make changes that were necessary, to be able to have the fear of the Lord, but most of all, to keep the fear of the Lord. And the first, we're going to get into it here this morning. How many are ready? Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, how many are ready? And so he made some necessary adjustments. The first shift is a shifting within our heads. In other words, we need to shift our mentality. We need to shift the way we think. I'm going to go by these quickly because the last one, I'm going to spend some time. But how many can say we need to change the way we think at times? And so I believe Solomon, with all his wisdom, he understood unless he changed the way he thought, unless he made that shift within his head, within his mind, he was not going to be able to serve the Lord. How many can say here this morning, you come here, you come here to serve Jesus. How many want to answer the call of God? And if you haven't met the Lord, if you don't know anything about Jesus, listen, my friend, here this morning, I'm just here to let you know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, that Jesus died on the cross, that you don't have to live that same manner any longer. I still remember, it was over 9-10 years ago. I still remember when I was lost and bound and being there. There's someone here. I'm not going to point them out by name. I'm just going to say they know me really well. I'm going to look this way. Amen, that way. But there's someone, and they know me really well. But I still remember those days, trying to find fulfillment in whatever area, trying to chase down anything that would try and bring any remote satisfaction. But listen, nothing satisfied me. I mean, you know, when Jesus is not in the picture, you can try this and you can try that. But until you fill that void with what God has for your life, you will never be satisfied. And I believe Solomon learned to make a shift in his thinking, in his head, in his mind. And he was able to say, I can't live in this manner any longer. It's been 9 years. I haven't touched a drop of alcohol. I haven't smoked a cigarette. I haven't gotten high. I can't even say a cuss word if you paid me to. But that's because of what the Lord has been done within my life, because I decided to make a shift. Someone once said, change the mind, change the man. But it's hard to change the mind. Now we can say amen. Only real way to change your mind is through the Word of God.
Right?
Romans 12, verse 1 through 2. Don't call me on this one again, but do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Right? First of all, it says, dear brothers and sisters, it says, I plead to you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, what you do should serve the Lord. Shouldn't be over here. You shouldn't be in those places. And then he said, this is wholly acceptable, pleasing unto God. Goes on to say, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I put here, there's idols that we have. And an idol is simply something that takes up all your time or energy. That's it. Doesn't have to be a statue that you go worship. How many have the Virgin Maria right there in your house? Still there. An idol is simply something that takes up all your time or energy. That's it. An idol is simply something that in your mind you constantly think about. That's it. It could be a husband, a spouse, getting you angry all the time. And they're in your mind. Can't get them out your mind to become an idol. It could be a boss. Work. I got to work. I got to make money. Got to go back to work. What time is it? I can't. I need overtime. And so it's in your mind. It becomes an idol. It could be. Check this one out. It could be ministry. Some of you use ministry as an outlet. Well, I got to do this and I can't. I got to go back to ministry. It's an outlet now. Instead of really serving the Lord, thinking about how to please God. We got to transfer our way of thinking. The plan of God or the plan of him or her. Some of us, we think, you know, we got to divert. What does God say? Our minds need to shift in order to follow what God is trying to do. Not just here locally, but regionally and internationally. I remember when we were there, Pastor Ryan shared and it stuck within my mind. But he said, just because you're young doesn't mean you're updated. And just because you're old doesn't mean you're outdated. In other words, we could be here, but at the same time be missing out on what God wants to do. Why? There's a shift that needs to be made. I have a quote here and it says, the greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitude of the mind. And isn't that a truth? I mean, we could be mad over nothing. How many have been there before? I mean, nothing went wrong really, but your frame of mind. And you're just angry. Hey, brother, hey, sister, what's going on? Nothing, I'm all right, you know. You got the faith, you know. Praise God, you know, if you say so. And it's just a mentality. It's a seed, and you can't get it out for the life of you. It's a thought, an attitude. That's why this person said, and he was a psychologist, said the greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitude of the mind. So I believe that's why Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Before that, a lot of people misquoted. Before that, he said, I've learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or whether hungry. He said, whether naked or poor, wherever I'm at, I knew the secret. It was the attitude of the mind that came from Jesus. Romans chapter 7, verse 21, we got to move quick. It says, I've discovered the principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. That's why I'm in the home. He didn't say that. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war within my, where? Where is it at a war? It's at war within our minds. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. But it says, oh, what a miserable person that I am. So if you feel like that, how many have felt like that at times? You ain't alone. Apostle Paul felt just like that. He's right there with you. But he gave us the answer. How many are ready for the answer? Amen. The answer is simple. And I go to this scripture often. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Then he goes on to say, thank God. Somebody say, thank God. Amen. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. See, that's it. That's the answer. The answer is simply what Jesus has already done. We need to make a shift within our head. The second one is we need to shift our health. We need to make a shift in our health, in our spiritual health. What does that mean? Someone say, what does that mean? What does that mean, Pastor Felipe? So you see, I actually had an opportunity. We flew down to Greece. And so we were there in Greece. We met some people. And so I'm lying, man. Never went to Greece. Just wanted to We have to make a shift in our spiritual health. What does that mean? It's our prayer lives. Somebody say prayer life. Don't raise your hand. How many prayed this morning? Right? Step on some toes right now. How many got your spiritual boots on? We need to make a shift in our spiritual health. Right? Touch your neighbors. See, check his vital signs. Ask him, how's your vital signs right now? We need to make a shift in our spiritual health. What does that mean? Our prayer lives. There's a quote that I read one time. It says, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Right? A lot of times, prayer becomes our spare tire. We only use it in emergency. Did you know that spare tires, and this is for if you knew or don't know, some of you, how many have used a spare tire before? Did you know a spare tire, you're not supposed to drive it more than 50 miles. You're not supposed to drive it over 50 miles an hour. So you can't even go 55. You can't go faster than that. And so I've seen somebody in the expressway use four spare tires. Driving by, I say, my God, I'm going to get away from this individual. There's no prayer life right there, you know. But prayer should be our steering wheel. So when things come, how many know things are going to take place? When things happen within our lives, whether it's ministry, person, you're able to say, I prayed this morning. And when you're able to say, I spent some time in the Lord, I waited upon God's presence, you're able to say, God is the one that's steering my life. God is the one that allowed to happen. God is the one that will somehow, some way, he will fix this area because this is not my problem. Prayer is not my spare tire. Prayer is my steering wheel, and I place my trust upon the Lord. How many here this morning placed your trust upon Jesus? We need that area of prayer. Listen, here this morning, we're not going to build anything apart from prayer. We're not going to be able to continue to labor day after year, not even moment by moment if you're not caught in the area of prayer. Listen, my friend, there's only certain moments that God can do that nobody can do. Your pastor can do. Your leader can do. That person next to you can do. There's only a certain area that God himself is willing to do. But until you get yourself into the area that's called prayer, you will not be able to get a hold of what God wants to do within your life. How many want to be able to get a hold of Jesus each and every day to say, God, I need you here this day. I need you here this moment. I'm here in prayer. I'm going to continue to ask no matter how long it takes. That's the area of prayer. And listen, how many can say prayer is not easy? I think, and I truly believe, and the more I want to learn and study and read, there's no way you can understand prayer until you get into prayer. Listen, you can read all the books you want. You could even find the quote the Bible if you want to. But until you desire, until you actually fix yourself in that area of prayer, not just one day, not just 2 days, every day. As an Andy Mineo song, it's an everyday thing, right? It's an everyday thing. Until you do that every single day. I mean, we go to work every day, right? I dare you to miss work tomorrow. None of us are going to miss work tomorrow, right? You're going to be like, I'm crazy, but we missed the work of prayer. Oh, my God. And we don't find it vital. We don't find it important. Little picture of spiritual health or vital signs. We miss prayer in the morning. We walk out the door, nothing going on. I'm not in a spiritual battle. Devil's not real. Things come our way. We're in the flesh. We respond any which way. And we justify it. This is the way I am. I'm still in the process. Right? They were at fault. They should know better. We do what pastor does. We point the finger and there's three fingers pointing right back at us. But when you're in prayer, when you get with the Lord and something happens, the Holy Spirit stops you. Before you even say anything, hey, God says, no. And you're able, you have a few seconds to make a shift. Do I say something or do I humble myself? Because what does the Bible say? God exalts the humble, but he humbles the proud. That's why, I mean, I would say, hey, you know, you don't always have to give your 2 cents or our opinion. Just give them to the Lord, go back to prayer, and then come back and talk to me. This is a spiritual battle. Pastor Sonny himself, he said something once, and, you know, when I read it, I said, my God. He said, if you're not doing something that brings you to your knees, if you're not acting upon a prayer that is going to drive you to your knees, then you're not doing nothing at all. So you should be making moves that take you to prayer. We should constantly be looking for ways to say, how can we get better? And you have an, you bring it to prayer, and once you bring it to prayer, you're able to bring it to life. Listen, I went to that leadership summit, and I came back a little bit different. I'm not just here to go back to normal work. I'm not just here to settle for ordinary, but I came back to see what else we can do. I came back to see, okay, what else can we pray for? What else needs to be done here? What can I do here within the church? But it was in that area of prayer. I believe that should be all of us. Somebody say amen. Someone once said the first and best victory is to conquer self. I like this one. They said, you cannot lead those you're not praying for. I mean, we're in ministry. You're trying to be a leader. You have the title of a leader. Are you praying for those under you? That's a big prayer list. I heard that one. I never let it go. I said, my God. Somebody say, my God. You want to get along with me? Pray for me. Want to get along? Why do you think, you know, I pray for you. Okay, God, there's, you know, pray for this person, picture them, and, you know, okay, they're going to be over here. You can't lead those that you don't pray for. We need to make a shift. Somebody say shift. Matthew 27, verse 1, moving along very, very quickly. You got a lot to cover. Very early in the morning, check this out. Very early in the morning, the leading priests and the elders of the people met again to lay plans for putting Jesus to death. Why am I pulling out that scripture? Very early in the morning. What time did you get up this morning? This is when the enemy, somebody said the enemy. This is the enemy trying to plot to put Jesus, Son of God himself, to death. What did they do? They didn't waste no time. Very early in the morning. I mean, the enemy has a plan. He's working hard. He knows what time you got up. He knows who read their Bible. Okay, they read. Oh, okay, they're praying. I can't get that close. They're in prayer. I got to get far. They're in the presence of God. I can't stand in the presence of God. Okay, that person ain't praying. I get so close to that person. He's not in prayer right now. I'm going to get him in the flesh so quick. Very early in the morning. The enemy's at work. What time do we get up? I read the scripture once. I never forgot it. It stopped me dead in my tracks. If the enemy is up early, why aren't we up early? It's called the flesh. Talked about that last time. Let's move on. Amen. We got a lot to cover. The last one is the shifting in our hearts. How many can say our hearts need to change? There needs to be a shift within our hearts. I'm going to read these scriptures and then hopefully we'll close out very, very quickly. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the NLT says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Another one in Proverbs. You don't have to break this down. You don't have to understand the Hebrew. You don't have to give no definition. Guard your heart. What gets you angry? What leads you astray? What makes you think differently? What makes you out of position? Bible says, God, you got to go to prayer. Say, God, I can't have this penetrate my heart. I prayed so long, so hard. I said, God, I don't want this to come into my heart. Say, God, I cover my heart. I don't need this area right now. Don't let it nowhere near touch my heart. My heart has to be pure. It determines the course of your life. The NIV says, guard your heart above all else. I know I didn't give it to them in the back, but NIV says, guard your heart above all else. For all things flow from within your heart. Somebody say all things. Everything you do flows from within your heart. Are you able to love people? How many can say we need some help loving people? How many need to be more patient? Flows from the heart. All things flow from within the heart. Pastor dealt with me over and over My wife and I ran the home for years. He would bring me in time and again. Say, Pastor, check it out, man. He was out of line this time. And he would just look at me and go, yeah, he said this. And, you know, he cussed me out. And I was excited, right? Yeah, he was in the wrong. Pastor would go like this. As soon as I was over, he'd bring me in. Start laying into me. Start correcting me. I said, what? No, I wasn't that wrong. He's cussed me out in front of me. I got witnesses. You want me to bring the witnesses? And he was just dealing with me. He was dealing with my heart. Over and over and over, dealing with my heart. So I could have compassion. I could have a little greater magnitude of love. Forgiveness. Compassion. And he kept dealing with me. Because he knew it was my heart. But a lot of us, we need a heart check. Our hearts need to shift. Not to an individual, not to a person, to a man called Jesus. Listen, until you shift your heart to that person called Jesus, you will always be led astray. There's a saying that goes, again, a saying that goes, leaders believe, not everyone believes what they're told. Discerners know what have to believe. When you get something told to you, but you're in the midst in the presence of God, you know what's real. You know what's true. But it comes from our heart. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 through 9. And this is what King Solomon, this is what made Solomon. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father. Somebody say he was obedient. He followed his dad. That's probably for some of us. How many of you need to be obedient to your dad? You know, he gave some instructions. You know, nah, man. You gotta follow your dad. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the local place of worship. In other words, he worshiped the Lord. How many had a good time worshiping Jesus? Amen. See, worship is easy nowadays. We gotta come here. First of all, come here on time. Somebody say on time. You gotta get spiritual boots. We gotta learn to worship the Lord. But they did it a little bit differently. The most important of these places was worship at the place called West Dallas in Milwaukee. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. Took him time. Somebody say it took time. Solomon just didn't gravitate. He didn't just take it as whatever. He knew what it was to worship the Lord. In other words, he put his heart. He said, what I'm getting right now, now I'm not just going to throw away. I'm not just going to take in vain. I'm just going to take it as another whatever, but he said, I'm going to put my heart into this. So he took his time in worship. It was an evidence of him showing the Lord, said, God, whatever it takes. How many can say, whatever it takes? Solomon wasn't, he said, I got to make my own. My father David, he built the kingdom, he did well. He's giving it on to me. There's a third wave anointing that God wants to pour out in this ministry. But we got to do our own thing at times. We got to earn. That's the better word. We got to earn at times that anointing. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. But catch this. God didn't just appear to him out of nowhere. He's seen Solomon's dedication. And because he's seen Solomon's dedication, he decided to say, okay, I've seen what he's, the work he's doing. The question I have for you is, what work have you been doing? What work have you been doing for the Lord? Are you able to get God's attention upon what you have been doing lately? Or are we getting the enemy's attention? Someone once said, we're going to be known for either our foolishness or our wisdom. We're going to remember either way, but acts that we do that are foolish or acts that we do that are wise. The Lord, Solomon caught the attention of the Lord. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. God said, what do you want? I have a question here this night. What do you want? If God could come into community, he does. But he wants to reward those in obedience. If there's those red flags, there's those mishaps. Our minds are not right. And God's saying, I want to come in, but I see where your mind is, that you're thinking too much about that person. You're thinking too much about something else. He wants to come into our lives. He wants to be able to make a shift in our spiritual life. But he's saying, you haven't called upon my name. I don't see you at prayer. You haven't really been spending time with me. Let's ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. There's many scriptures on prayer. The prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective, availing much. So many scriptures on prayer. Where it says, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Solomon got the Lord's attention. How many can say, man, I want to get God's attention? Don't get the job's attention. What are they going to do for you? You can't take that money with you to heaven. God's going to reward you. God's going to be the one that says, I wasn't looking at the work you did right there at that physical job. I was looking at the work I told you to do. I had a specific job for you. You weren't punching in, but I seen you. Well, let me get back to the message right here. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. God said, what do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you. Solomon replied, you showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true. Somebody say honest. Say, never, don't lie. Keep clean, dirty. Because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show his great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king instead of my father David. But I am like a child. In other words, he knew he needed to grow. I mean, you can say we need to grow. He knew he wasn't fully ready or developed. At times, we're never going to be at that area to be fully ready. But God understands that. What God wants to know is we understand that. Are we able to humble ourselves enough to say, God, I need some help. I need some direction. I need some guidance. Said, I'm like a child who doesn't know his way around. He wasn't afraid to admit, listen, I don't know what's going on at times. Some of us, we think we know everything. I've done this already. Listen, this word, just memorize this word. Amen. Somebody say amen. That'd be your best friend. You want to make it in ministry, in Christianity, in service. Amen. And don't. There's different amens, right? Amen. Amen, you know. You gotta say amen with a smile. The joy of the Lord. Like you've been saved for a good while. Like you're grateful you saved. How many are grateful God saved you? You say amen. He went on to say, here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great, so numerous, it cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart. Give me an understanding heart. I got to wrap this up pretty quickly. Let's just go ahead and stand. And then the worship team can make their way. Give me an understanding heart. In other words, he was not afraid to understand what his father was trying to give him. Listen, hear this morning, what our ministry is doing, Victory Outreach International, this third wave movement. What God wants to give you and I, special anointing, a special increase. There's a shift that has been made. But you and I, we don't want to miss out. How many don't want to miss out? So Solomon said, there's something that's been given to me, and within our lives, there's something that's trying to be handed over to us. But there's certain qualities that we need to shift over. And I believe this is an important one. We could change our mind. We can get into prayer, spiritual health. But if our hearts don't change, listen, I want to let you know something. Your heart's vital. And Solomon understood. I believe he watched his father David. I believe he was always just looking, and he had an example that he could follow. I mean, how many are grateful we have examples? I'm grateful I have an example. And I could share this here this morning, but I always needed someone within my life that was able to guide me. I never really truly had someone to not just mentor me in any way, but mentor me in the right way. That was going to be able to lead me, to guide me. And not just in my good times, in my bad times. My ups and downs. Not just when I missed it, when I really missed it. Yeah, Pastor, that happened. I had someone that I could look up to. That because I opened my heart, he knew my heart. And I'm grateful that he was never going to mess with my heart. He said, I never do something to stain my heart. But all he did was love me, guide me, pour into me, mentor me. And Solomon understood. He said, my heart needs to change. I can't do this. There's certain characteristics that we need to understand here this morning. I'm going to just read them to you, and then we're going to make an altar call. But as we make this altar call, I really want us to come forth and make a shift. Since some of us, we got to change our attitudes. We got to change our minds. Some of us, we got to change our spiritual health. We got to get back into prayer. Coming back from that leadership summit, they said, don't just pray just to survive. Don't just get into prayer just to make it by. You got to pray to thrive. You really got to pray. One of the titles of the message was pray big, believe big, and act like if everything depends on the Lord. I've been changing my prayers lately. I've been waiting upon the Lord. I want my heart to change. There's a difference between the physical heart and the spiritual heart. The physical heart is located approximately in the center of a person's chest. The spiritual heart should be located in the very center of a person's thoughts, words, actions, ministry, motivating everything in his life. You need some motivation. You need some passion within your life. You can't get that apart from prayer. It's not going to come overnight. It's a battle. You have to really want it with the Lord. The physical heart, the blood in a physical heart, is composed of different nutrients contained in the food consumed by its owner. Come on, somebody, stop the fast food. Cut back. That coffee ain't that good. Just a little bit. The life of a Christian's spiritual heart is composed of what he consumes through his mind and experience. The purest life is obtained from eating the Word of God. And I could add here, spending time in prayer. A healthy physical heart beats automatically without conscious effort of its owner. Nobody's saying heart to beat. Nobody's saying pump blood right now. It's automatic. The healthy spiritual heart shows the love, joy, peace of God naturally, spontaneously, without any conscious effort or sincere put on. In other words, you don't got to fake that. It's real. You ever heard somebody say, hey, love you, brother. You know, love you, sister. At times I say, was that real? I'm not going to say it unless I mean it. How many know we're family? How many are grateful for the love that was showed upon us here in this ministry? A love that you can't put a price on. A love that carried us forth. How many are grateful that love came over and over and over when we didn't deserve it? The Bible says while we were still yet powerless sinners, at just the right time, Christ died for us. It's the love that he poured out upon you and I. And here this morning as they begin to sing, I just want to make an altar call. And as we make this altar call, it's just an opportunity to come forth and make a shift. To say, God, there's certain things that I need to change. To say, I'm ready to make a shift. I want to change my mentality. I want to change things in my head. I want to change my spiritual health. But most of all, I need to change in my heart. I haven't followed the Lord the way I should. Maybe I don't know the Lord. And God's been calling you and the Lord's been tugging to you. You got to make a shift here this morning. And as you come here just to spend time with the Lord, all over this place, I want you to close your eyes. Allow that song to minister. Those watching online, make that altar call with us. There's a shift that God is doing here within this ministry. There's a shift within our lives. And here this morning, right there where you're at, I want you to spend some time with Jesus. All over this place, close your eyes. Allow the Lord to make a shift. Allow the Lord to cleanse, to wash away.
And I will follow you no matter what the cost. I will answer the call. I will answer the call. I have heard the Master calling. I will follow you no matter what the cost. I will answer the call. I will answer. I will answer the call. I have heard the Master calling. I will follow you no matter what the cost. I will answer the call. I will answer the call. I have heard the Master calling. And I will you no matter what the cost. I will answer the call. I will answer the call. I have heard the Master calling, and I will follow you no matter what the cost. I will answer the call. I will answer the call. I have heard the Master calling, and I will follow you no matter what the cost. I will answer the call. I will answer the call. I have heard the Master calling, and I will follow you no matter what the cost. I will answer the call. I will answer the call. I have heard the Master calling.
Continue right there where you at. In this atmosphere, in this attitude of the altar call. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. Hallelujah. How many of us know that was a powerful and timely word? The shift that needs to be made. The title of today's message, very powerful and timely word. And I believe we all have shifts that we need to make. But the key in all this is the desire. Do we have a true desire to make those shifts that we all need to take place? And if in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 through 12, this is when King Solomon came to God, and this is him in the beginning of his Ray as king. And I like what he asked God, because he understood in order for the shifts to take place in his life, he needed to ask the right things. And I believe at times we are coming to God, asking him for the wrong things, and now allowing him to make those shifts that we need to be made in our lives. The Bible reads, that night God appeared to Solomon and said, what do you want? Ask and I will give it to you. See, he could have asked for anything, but Solomon understood the great call that was upon his life and what he needed. This is Solomon's reply. He said, You showed me great and faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me my king in his place. Oh, Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. And this is what he asked for. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly. For who could possibly govern this great people of yours? In verse 12, God said to Solomon, because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies, or even a long life. In other words, things that he didn't need at that time. But rather you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested. But check this out. Because we serve a God, like I said, in the offering, that want to hook us up. But I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame, such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future. See, we have to understand how God operates. God is truly desiring to use this church to win the city of Milwaukee for his honor and glory. And like the title of the message, we all have shifts that need to be made in our lives. And this is what God wants. He wants us to have the shifts taking place because he wants to bless us. But see, the thing is, God cannot do what he wants to do if we don't desire it. We have to desire those shifts to take place. We all have a need, whether you want to admit it or not. I got needs I need to take place. I need to continue to make shifts because I'm not satisfied where I'm at, spiritually speaking. I want to continue to grow. And see, Solomon came to God and asked him for what he needed. And a lot of us still dealing with self and what we want. See, there's a difference between a need and a want. A need is something that's very essential, very important. A want is a desire to possess something. See, Solomon knew he didn't need wealth. He didn't need all those things. He needed wisdom. And that's what we all need if we want to truly grow in the things of God. But too many must still focus on what we want. And because of that, like Pastor Felipe said, we'll find ourselves building incorrectly. And it's unfortunate there are some here this morning that's logged on that's building incorrectly, whether you want to believe it or not. Like, that's why the title of the message is so powerful, the shift that needs to be made. Now, we can make the decision to do our part and humble ourselves and make those shifts, or we can continue on like we don't need a shift being made. The choice is ours, but guess what? If we don't do our part, we will find ourselves building incorrectly. And if we're not careful, we will find ourselves back out there mingling with the enemy. I don't know about you, but I don't want that anymore. So the question was asked, and I'm going to ask the same question that Pastor Felipe asked. What do we want? Do we want to be a builder for the kingdom of God? And if that's the case, we got to make those shifts. And not just make it when we feel like it, but do it in a timely manner. Don't procrastinate. Because we have an adversary that's not, he's playing for keeps. He's not a joke. And all those points that he made, these is very, very important shifts that needs to take place in our thinking, in our prayer life, in our heart. And too many of us is taking these errors casually. I don't want to stay the same, so I'm continuing challenging myself to renew my mind and change the way that I think. Continue to grow in this area of prayer, not just doing it, but the knowledge and understanding, so that my heart could continue to grow and become Christ-like. So let's ask this question. It's a personal question. What do we want? Do we really want to be a builder for God, or do we want to just play church? The choices are. So the altar call was made. Now we want to close out. Now we got an opportunity to do our part, make those shifts, or do the opposite. The choice is ours. But like King Solomon, like God did, he wants to hook us up. But he's not going to hook us up if we're not making those shifts that we need to take place. Praise God. With that said, let's close out in prayer. And let's go and do our part and make those shifts so that God could continue to use our lives to build this end time church here in Victory Outreach, Milwaukee. Let's all bow our heads. Let's close out in prayer this morning. Lord, we just thank you for that timely message, Lord God. We thank you once again for the challenge that you always give us, Lord God, to grow and mature and to do those things that we need to do as Christians so that you could get all the honor and glory from our lives. The question was asked, what do we want? I pray that our desire here is to glorify your name in and through our lives. And as we go about our journey, Lord God, I pray that we keep this message in our mind, that you burn it in our hearts, burn it in our minds. And I pray that we'll do our part so that you could continue, Lord God, to reel in men, women, and young adults for your honor and glory. We pray that you protect us, that you bless us with traveling mercy, that we go about our day with you in mind and heart. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glories. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church of God says, amen. Come on, churches, give Jesus Christ a radical hand. Come on, somebody. By faith, we all going to make that shift that needs to take place. Once again, I want to thank you for being here and joining us this morning on behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene. Amen. I also may mention, next week, Wednesday, is our next service at the Throne Prayer. Oh, sorry, Streets 130. So we're going to meet at the in the parking lot in our grass area. So 130 Street. So come prepare to help others to make the shift that they need to make place in their lives. Amen. With that said, consider yourself dismissed. Go and be in the presence of the Lord. Amen.